And what's poppin', everybody? I'm Gavin, back here with
Braden Pittman.
And we are back on this wonderful Thursday evening with the start of the NBA preseason just happening.
Yeah, there was a few interesting developments. Steph Curry back from his, like, 300-day injury, hand injury. Kevin Durant played a game. We got to see a few of the new rookies in action. But also, it's preseason, you know? Nothing exciting's happened. Yeah.
I mean, like, preseason, you know, probably the most boring time of the NBA. I mean, it's like the NFL. Right. Who wants to watch the NFL preseason? You know what I mean? Like, maybe you do, but
yeah,
I don't.
Like, it's just, you get to see the third strings play. Nice. Cool.
Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
especially in the current climate, because it looks even more like a preseason game than before, because now there's not even fans in the stands.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's also only like four teams. I forget who they are exactly, but that are going to allow fans at all. The Pacers are not one of them. Sorry, Pacers fans. But it's probably for the best. But yeah, it's been preseason, you know? I mean, who really cares what's been happening?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we saw a few decent games.
The Pacers got beat by the Cavs twice because Andre Drummond haunts us like, I don't know a good comparison, but I don't think we've won against Andre Drummond in the last, like, four seasons.
Did you see Andre Drummond's, like, it was, like, a couple sessions, like, maybe a step inside the half-court line? He chucked it. Oh, no, wait, yeah. That was, I mean, everyone knows Andre Drummond is the half-court king.
Yeah, you know, he really, that's the one shot that he can make from outside of 3 feet is half-court shots. He can't make a free throw, can't make a mid-range, but boy, can he knock down a half-court shot.
Yeah, and it's like, imagine not being able to shoot a three or a free throw, but being able to bang full-court and half-court shots. Like, that doesn't even sound right.
He said that he practices it because he's, like, one of the only people, or he was one of the only people on his team for a while that had the muscles to, like, consistently shoot half-court and beyond half-court shots. But we're going to get into a bit of NBA news that's not the preseason because, again, it's just preseason. So James Harden said he is willing to be traded to Philadelphia or other contenders. Those contenders most likely being teams like the Heat, the Nets. I could see a deal getting done to put him on the Lakers somehow, just because that seems like something that the Lakers would be able to do. What do you think about that, Gavin?
I think James Harden was out partying. You guys didn't know he was partying in, what, Las Vegas and somewhere
it's
else.
It's starting to seem like he's not, like, he's placed the blame on a lot of his teammates over the last couple years.
Yeah.
And I think we're starting to see that maybe that's not exactly what's been happening.
And I mean, I saw there's a coach on the coaching staff that was like, you know, James Harden, everyone knows when we have multiple days off in a row, James is going to go party in Las Vegas or wherever he goes to party. But he's going to come back and drop a 50-point triple-double, so nobody cares. Yeah, I mean, I guess he can come back and do that. Does that make up for it?
No. Yeah.
I mean, does it?
I mean, you know the classic Allen Iverson video. Practice, we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
But I think that there is something to be said for showing up to team practices as the leader of a team. And we've talked about this before with Russell Westbrook. We've gone into quite the dialogue about this, that Russell Westbrook raises your floor, doesn't really raise your ceiling. And I think it's kind of similar with James Harden, is that he makes you a great team because you can rely on him to drop 50 points or get a triple-double every night, and he's going to carry your team statistically, but I don't think that that's a recipe for winning basketball. You look historically at Wilt Chamberlain. The season that he averaged 50 and 25 was, his team was awful. And then a couple seasons later, his coach asked, I think it was the next season actually, coach asked him to take a reduced role to play more like Bill Russell. They won a championship immediately. And I think that might be what James Harden wants to, or needs to do, in order to make a team succeed, but I don't think that James Harden's ego will allow him to. Same thing with Russell Westbrook in that regard. I think that James Harden, as an ISO scorer, could really help a team. I don't think that with him averaging 40 points, he ever will.
Oh, yeah. And like, going back to what you said about James Harden, you know, wanting to go to Philadelphia, the thing is, Philadelphia has stated they're not open to trading Joel Embiid nor Ben Simmons. They're just not open to trading either of them. I mean, that's what they said in regards to the James Harden trade.
The Rockets, as much as I just said, I mean, I don't think that many teams in the whole league want him right now, except for teams like the Hornets, who are just like, we want to win basketball games. But I don't think that there are any teams who necessarily are like, we need James Harden to make our team better. And the Rockets, it's a weird place. He's in like kind of like that basketball trade value purgatory, where he's clearly a great player, but nobody wants to trade for him. And yeah, then whatever, and like, either you trade a star for him, which you don't want to do, or you trade these role players that Houston doesn't want.
Yeah.
That's the two options. And we've talked before about, I think that was 2 weeks ago, John Wall for Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm, and implications for both teams on that. Mm-hmm. We've kind of done our rounds talking about James Harden.
Yeah.
But just new developments. And also, he said, I want to get traded to Philadelphia or other contenders. I think it should have just been Philadelphia or contenders, because Philadelphia is not a contender. although, I was looking at their full roster, and they actually did fill it out a little bit. I wish that they would have re-signed J.J. Redick when they had the chance 2 seasons ago. And also, here's just a little anecdote. I remember that offseason 2018, asking my dad, I was like, Dad, guess who was the first person to get signed? And he was just like, huh. And I could tell that he genuinely didn't know. And he looked at me and he was like, I don't know, J.J. Redick. And I was like, how did you know that? Because J.J. Redick was the first person to sign. He signed with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
At midnight on whatever the date was. And I was just so flabbergasted and slightly upset, because he was just like, I don't know, J.J. Redick. And I was, what? How'd you? But anyway, I just wish that the 76ers would have re-signed J.J. Redick, because he would be a great piece coming off that floor with, who'd they just get? They got Danny Green, and then they got another shooter. Who? Didn't they have Robert Covington for a little bit?
They did.
That was like a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, it was. Danny Green and,
I'll keep talking. I'll find him in a second.
Yeah, I can't remember. Because I know Robert Covington isn't on the, what's it called?
He's on the Blazers, which I wanted to talk about them for a little bit.
Covington went to the Blazers, but anyway, in other regards to James Harden, also, like you said, Philadelphia or other contenders, the Nets were one of them. The Nets are not willing to trade Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. Obviously not Kevin Durant, but speculations were going around about Kyrie Irving perhaps being traded. However, that... The Nets shut that down.
Other shooter was Seth Curry, best three-point shooter in the league statistically. Or I guess now that title goes to Duncan Robinson. Yeah. Seth Curry has the highest three-point percentage with like 500 shots or whatever, mm-hmm, of all time, though. That's fun. Best three-point percentage. But yeah, Seth Curry and Danny Green definitely add a new layer to that team. They will probably be starting, just because that team is so devoid of shooting. So they're going to have the starting five of Ben Simmons, Danny Green, and Seth Curry at the 2 and 3. And then Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid probably, which means that they have three people who can shoot and one person who will shoot, and Joel Embiid. And then they have Ben Simmons, who's just going to stay in the paint, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely adds. Are the 76ers a contender?
No. I still don't think... I don't think they can be a contending team unless they trade either Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid.
Yeah, that's where I've been for quite a while as well. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it this year. They're making the finals. They've 76ers, mm-hmm, fans and the media as a whole have said for 4 years in a row now, 76ers are going to, this is their year to finally go to the finals. Last year, they had Al Horford. They were like, oh, this is finally our year. And then everybody was like, you guys don't have spacing. And then we found out, guess what? They didn't have any spacing. Surprise, surprise. This year, though, they did add some. And they got rid of Al Horford. They managed to get rid of him. Really made the team better. I think that Tobias Harris still has one of the worst contracts in the league. He's paid like he's LeBron James, but he's Tobias Harris. I think that that's a contract they might try to offload maybe by the trade deadline. I wouldn't be surprised. But I do think that with that starting five and with new coaching changes, Doc Rivers now, who is a championship coach, whether or not Gavin wants to admit it. Gavin's talked before about how
Doc Rivers is
an awful coach and that he's a pretender.
He is so bad.
I genuinely do believe that they've made a good amount of changes this offseason, and that Ben Simmons, for the third season in a row, has said that he's willing to shoot, which has proved untrue so far.
Yeah.
But, hey, let's see.
Unfortunately, for the Sixers, and I've heard a lot of people, not Philadelphia specifically, but people like you, Braden, who have talked about other teams like the Heat going all the way to the finals, or the Sixers, or the Celtics, or even the Bucks.
I'm just drinking the Joel Kool-Aid. I really like Joel Embiid a lot as a person and as a basketball player, and I would love to see his Twitter after he wins a ring. But that would be hilarious.
Unfortunately for you and Sixers fans in Philadelphia, here, everywhere, there's a player in the East, goes by the name of Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I've heard about him. And, I've heard about him a little bit.
And
didn't he just come back from injury?
Yeah.
He
didn't play a basketball game in 18 months and almost dropped in 18 months and almost dropped 20 points
in a preseason game.
Yeah,
he had like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he. I watched that game. He looked like Kevin Durant.
He did look like Kevin Durant.
Achilles injury couldn't hold him back. But yeah, he is insane.
Hey, I'm telling you,
it's been a while since I've watched Kevin Durant play basketball.
Like, I think people understand. People didn't forget it's Kevin Durant, but people forgot it. You know what I mean? Like, people
knew that Kevin Durant was great, but they hadn't seen him play in so long. And people in this situation. I watched Kevin Durant, and I was like, oh, he is 7 feet tall and shoots just as good as Steph. I forgot about that.
Like, I'm just sitting there, and I'm just watching just Kevin Durant baseline, has the ball. I mean, it's great defense, but it doesn't matter because he's 7 foot tall with a huge wingspan.
You either put a little dude on him who can't reach his jumper, or you put a big dude on him that isn't fast enough.
Exactly. And you saw, like, I don't know who they had on him, but he just pulled an easy mid-range, like, goes nothing. First points back, baseline dunk. Like,
yeah,
it's Kevin Durant. I feel like Kevin Durant's in the East, that team must automatically be going to the finals.
You want
to
know a really bad nickname that he has? I'm sure you've heard it. Durantula.
I love that nickname. What?
Who has the worst nickname in the league?
Oh, LeBron has a really bad nickname. It's
what is
like,
it
calls him small.
What?
Like, yeah, but he's not, like, obviously LeBron's not tiny.
Yeah.
I don't know what, it's on Basketball Reference, I think.
I've always
I'll
liked
Chef
Curry. I thought that was a fun one.
I'll look it up because it's really bad.
Russell Westbrook being called Brody always feels weird to me. I don't know I don't know why he's called that. I don't really know too many NBA nicknames, if we're being honest. I don't really care about them too much. But I don't like that. I really like Joel Embiid getting called JoJo because it reminds me of JoJo Siwa, and I just think that's funny. But I think that Durantula is pretty close to the top of my list on worst nicknames.
Why?
I can think of.
Like, why is it? I mean, it makes perfect sense, though.
It's
like,
just gross.
But it makes perfect sense. Like, Durantula.
Why? Because he has 8 legs? No.
Because he's, like, super long. You know what I mean? He's lengthy.
Okay.
Like a spider.
Yeah.
So, Durantula. Like, Tarantula. Durantula.
I got that part.
Like, just... like, it's like.
It just conjures a gross imagery for me of James, or of Kevin Durant with four arms.
You can
and
just,
I don't like it.
You can just take a picture of a tarantula and Photoshop KD's head.
Yeah.
Over the spider's head. A Durantula.
I thought he was a snake.
Not anymore.
I just don't like it. It's just not good to me.
I don't know. We could talk about NBA. Like, what other NBA nicknames are there? LeBron has. It only pops up like the Chosen One, the L Train, like things like that. But he has like a really bad one.
I really like the only reason that I even know who George Gervin is because of his nickname Iceman.
Yeah.
I really like that. But, I don't know. There's really not that many bad ones I can think of off the top of my head. But I'm sure that there are. Like, Boogie kind of just makes DeMarcus Cousins seem a little childlike. You know?
Childlike.
Boogie's kind of like a childish nickname. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But I just don't like Durantula.
I like Durantula. But it's whatever. We can move on from NBA nicknames.
And James Harden will never win a ring. Hot take. I know that's a cold take, but we started this all off with James Harden, the beard. That's also a pretty bad nickname. I know that he has a beard, but being identified by your facial hair just seems. Giannis Antetokounmpo signed the biggest contract in NBA history. He signed an extension with the Bucks, something to the tune of $525 million over the next 5 years.
It was like 22 million more than Russell Westbrook's. And Russell Westbrook is who previously held the largest contract in NBA history.
228.2 million. I went a little high on my. I accidentally doubled the number.
I thought it was 225.
It's 228.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
He also, during contract meetings, showed text messages he had from other NBA stars trying to recruit him. Gavin, is recruiting an issue in the NBA?
I think I would say yes. Because right now you may not see it as an issue right now, because right now there's a lot of good players distributed around the league in the Eastern and Western Conference, right? But in previous years, like that Warriors team, that Warriors team like wasn't really recruited. They did a lot of that in the draft.
Yeah, so Clay, Steph, and Draymond.
Yeah, they were drafted, so I can't really say that. But I'm sure KD got recruited. Also, I remember, the big three in Miami. That was recruited. Wade, Bosh, and LeBron, everyone knows they were texting each other, recruiting each other. They were trying to figure out where to go. And they ended up, Dwayne Wade ended up, were the best team at that time out of the three, I would say.
The Cavs didn't really have anybody on it. Raptors had just Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
The Knicks were the Knicks, so they were awful.
The Heat had won a ring a couple years before that, right? In what, 2000? What year did they win that ring?
They won it in like 2006, I think. 2005?
I was going to say six, but.
It might even have been 2007, but yeah, they had Dwayne Wade and they had a solid core around him. Mario Chalmers
and Ray Allen came after LeBron came, I'm pretty sure, at the same time.
They just had a solid core, also Dwayne Wade was already on contract. The other two were free agents.
Yeah.
That had something to do with it as well.
And that kind of ruined a lot of things. I don't know. Then you saw, you may not see a lot of just big players like that, but you also see players like Serge Ibaka getting recruited.
Right.
Kawhi, even though the text is just, hey, are you coming or no? ? It's still recruiting, even though Serge Ibaka is not a superstar in the NBA, those players still have a big effect on your team. At the end of the day, Serge Ibaka is going to have a big part on that Clippers team.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know.
Here's where I think it's an issue. Once we stop recognizing that it happens.
Yeah.
Because right now, like, we all kind of know that there's a little bit of, people call it tampering. But I think that playing basketball with your friends isn't a bad thing, you know? Like, if I was in the NBA, I'd want to play with Gavin Miller. Why wouldn't I?
Nice.
Like, I grew up with that dude.
Nice.
But, and I think that to a certain extent, that's fine. And I mean, here's where it's going to be even more confusing is like LeBron James and Bronny are going to live in the same house. Are they tampering?
Yeah, you think they are? I guarantee they won't get fined for tampering.
But really, it's just like, I'm not putting this into words correctly. I just don't want it to affect the small market teams as much because, like, you know that New York can afford to go over the luxury tax to sign all these players.
That's another thing. Like,
because, I mean, and we're a little biased considering that we are from Indiana. We have the Pacers here. But teams like the OKC Thunder, teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, and I think that Giannis did a good job. I'm proud of him for re-signing with the Bucks, giving a small market team somebody that's going to be there for the next 5 years. But it really does hurt local infrastructure and stuff when LeBron leaves Cleveland for Miami, you know? Or when Chris Bosh leaves Toronto for Miami, which Toronto's a big city, but it's the only NBA team in Canada. And it's just, it does hurt small market teams definitely when they are losing their big players that they drafted. But then I do think that we are going to be seeing a new range of NBA loyalty, and I think that now it's going to be also good because teams will have to start being loyal to players for once, which is something that they have not had to do for ever. There's never been a point where a team has owed something to a player, but now the player can say, if you guys aren't loyal to me, I won't be loyal to you. I'll go team up with my friends. And Damian Lillard, his relationship with the Trailblazers has shown that. Now, Giannis, him re-signing, he's going to be on the Bucks until he's 30. And, I mean, he's with the way that he plays, I don't think that he's going to be super effective past the age of, like, 34 unless he had the jump shot. But, like, they have him now for a while. And I think that that is good, is that I think that overall we're going to see that it's good, that it is the player empowerment era, and that that is going to make the teams feel like they owe more to the players, because without the players, there's no league.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you on, like, small market teams, because you look at it, a lot of players, it's you have the Lakers in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They can sign. People are going to want to go to Los Angeles. Yeah. You know what I mean? They have two teams in Los Angeles, the Clippers and the Lakers.
Yeah.
Well, would you look at that? Los Angeles has arguably the two best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and also, like, Los Angeles has probably four of the top six players in the world.
Yeah, like, look at Indiana. When is the last time the Pacers have gotten someone crazy good?
We've drafted two of those dudes that are in LA right now.
We did, yeah. I was thinking about that. We did.
But think about, like,
the last time we had someone crazy good was Paul George.
So many of these teams, they will draft good players and then lose them.
Yeah.
I mean, take the Bucks, for instance. They drafted Ray Allen, and then he was gone within, like, three seasons. The Cavaliers, I mean, let's just talk Midwest for a second. They drafted LeBron. They drafted Kyrie. They drafted Anthony Bennett, lost all three of those stars.
Stars, yeah, three of them.
The fact that the Cavs have had three number one picks in 20 years, or in 17 years, is just so crazy to me.
Yeah, and they like drafted LeBron and Kyrie.
Yeah.
So they ended up going on to play with each other. And then you have Anthony Bennett, who
one of the few NBA players that I'm confidently able to say was a flop, was a bust. Was not a good pick.
That was just terrible.
And then I think about OKC, who's drafted all these players, kept most of them for a while, but they just kept leaving. And, like, KD went to one of the biggest cities in the United States when he moved to San Francisco to play for Golden State. Mm-hmm. Or James Harden left for the third biggest city in the U.S., Houston. They're losing these small players to bigger teams. Or to bigger cities, which, I mean, I don't blame him. I don't blame Paul George for wanting to move out of Indiana to L.A.
Yeah,
he was born and raised in L.A.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. It's just like, you look at this and then you wonder why a lot of small market teams have no rings, or why they have very few rings. And then you wonder why L.A. has tied with the Celtics for the most rings in NBA history. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. Chicago has six rings, all from Michael Jordan.
I do think that it is going to make players, or I think it's going to make teams have to be loyal to players.
I just, I don't know. I wish, and right now it's pretty balanced. You know what I mean? You have Dallas in the West, who great team. You have both LA teams, are probably the top two teams in the Western Conference. In fact, I'll say they are the top two teams in the Western Conference, arguably the top two teams in the league. Then you have you have the Nuggets on the West in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And we'll go over to the East real quick. You have the Celtics, Bucks. You have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Nets, you know, Raptors.
Which, I mean, I think that the Nuggets are one team that's done the small market really well.
They have.
Same thing with the Jazz. I think that they've gotten star players, and I think that they have, you can see that Jazz fans are not the most accepting people in the world. There have been multiple controversies between Jazz fans and African-American players throughout the years. And yet the Jazz or the Utah organization is able to still keep these players. I don't know what they do. I'm not a Jazz fan per se, but I would say that there's probably something they're doing in their organization to make these players want to re-sign Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. They've kept Derek Favors for a while to just keep these players staying. The Timberwolves are an example of a small market team who, for most of their life, has done a very poor job at getting their players to stay. Karl Anthony Towns has stayed, but they got him young to re-sign to a contract. I think that his next contract year is next year or the year after that,
He's no way he stays.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that I would want to stay with the Timberwolves. Look at what they did with Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett was so good for so long. They didn't put a single person around him. He left for like two seasons to go to Boston and won a ring. And that was when he was like in his twilight years.
Yeah, and I don't know. Right now it's not too big of a deal because I feel like a lot of the league is equally distributed among players. Yeah. But in the past, multiple times in the past, it has not been. It's not been fair. I mean, two times now in the last decade, we've seen the Warriors and the Heat run the league.
Yeah.
For multiple years.
Yeah.
Like,
and the Cavs, because LeBron got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving on the same team. And I'll just say this. LeBron's been to, 12 of the last 13 finals?
Probably. I mean, when LeBron went to the Cavs with Kyrie and Kevin Love,
In the whole decade. It was last season.
Yeah, and they ran the East. Yeah. In that time, you also had the Warriors, and the Warriors ran the West. It was just, NBA season starts, more like Cavs versus Warriors starts. Yeah,
we're seeing the prequel to Cavs versus Warriors. Or LeBron versus the Warriors, really.
Yeah, LeBron and Kyrie versus the Warriors.
Man, that is going to be fun to watch. Western Conference Finals, Warriors versus... That is going to be a fun playoffs.
I'm going to ask this question, okay? Clippers or Warriors?
With no Clay, I'm leaning towards Clippers, but at the same time... We don't know how good James Wiseman's going to be. We don't know Wiggins is going to now step up his efficiency.
James Wiseman got COVID-19.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Confirmed COVID. Yeah.
I'm going to say Warriors. I'm taking Warriors because of their experience in the finals.
You're taking the Warriors?
Yeah. I'm taking
over the Clippers?
I'm taking Draymond and Steph over Kawhi and Paul George.
Here's how it's going to go. Clay's not returning for the year.
Yeah.
James Wiseman, we don't know how good he is, but he already has COVID-19, so yeah. Who knows how long he'll be out with it, you know what I mean?
That's the thing is that, you can test positive for COVID-19 and then they say, wait 2 weeks if you're asymptomatic. But if you are showing symptoms, then you could be out for like a month.
That's what I'm saying.
Or longer. Because, it is, if you're asymptomatic, it's no big deal, really, for you personally. Although we don't know the full scope of the long-term things, but I just mean you will not be passing it on to other people, but James Wiseman could get sick and he could stay sick for the next 2 months and be hospital ridden.
We don't know what the situation is with him. Yeah. I just know he's gotten it. You know what I mean? I just know he has.
But yeah, just truly, we do not know how long he will be out with
it. just at minimum, what, 2 weeks? Minimum.
Yeah.
So
at least the season will have started.
At the very least, the 2 weeks
from now. He will not be there for tip off.
Yeah. And anyway, I here's how I think it's gonna go. I think as long as Paul George can play good. That's all it takes. If Paul George plays good in the playoffs, like I said, Paul George, good. You guys didn't
not
know,
even great.
Just good.
If he can put up 20.
If Paul George, and if you guys didn't know, Paul George is back with his trainer. Last season on the Thunder, before he left for the Clippers, Paul George finished top three in MVP voting and Defensive Player of the Year voting. He top three in both of those awards, which is crazy.
That not very many people can say they've done.
That was just, what, 2 seasons ago? Two seasons ago. And now Paul George had a terrible playoff run and people are calling him terrible.
He is terrible. He's always so bad.
This is like blasphemy. But, if Paul George can just play good, play like Paul George, I honestly can have the Clippers winning it in six.
Clippers need to trade Lou Williams, and then I'll say that the Clippers are ahead.
I think getting rid of Montrezl Harrell, just losing him, I don't care if they didn't trade him. They were trying to trade him, they said, but they couldn't get a deal in time. I don't care. Cut him. Losing to free agency, trade him, whatever the case was. They end up losing him to the Lakers in free agency. Probably a great move for the Clippers, and now the Lakers locker room team chemistry will go from a 95% to an 82% off of that Montrezl Harrell signing. So that's good news if you're a Clippers fan, because now you know that's a terrible signing.
I have a bold take. Mm-hmm. Bold take. All right, listen in. I want you all to get a little closer to your speaker, okay?
All right.
The Western Conference, I don't care what team makes it out, the Western Conference team will be losing the NBA Finals.
Oh, you're right, because there's a madman in the Eastern Conference that goes by a name of Kevin Durant.
I don't care who comes out of the East either. I just know that the Western Conference team will lose. And here's why.
Okay.
The Western Conference teams are... This might be a year where we are seeing the most talent in NBA history.
Okay.
The Western Conference, there are probably 11 teams that in a regular year would make the playoffs and be like contenders.
Mm-hmm.
Like the worst team is the Pelicans, and they would probably 10 years ago have been like the 4 or 5 seed, because these teams are really good. Almost every series is going to go to 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
going all the way up. When you get to the team that is in the finals, they might have played 20 games of the playoffs versus the Nets or the Bucks or whoever makes it out. They could have only played like 13 games, 14 games.
Yeah.
And the other team played almost 30.
Yeah.
I think that there's a legitimate chance that the Lakers make it to the finals, and LeBron in his old age, he's going to be like, what, 36 at the end of the season? Mm-hmm. That he'll be a little winded. Anthony Davis is going to be out there a little winded. The rest of the team is made of some old veterans. They're going to be winded.
Playing like the Nuggets.
And you're going to see Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Kevin Durant, who barely hit his 30th, and Kyrie, who's 29, surrounded by the rest of this young Nets team. They're going to be hungry, and they're just going to murder the Lakers.
The thing is, I really have high expectations for this Nets team. If they don't make the finals, minimum...
We're forgetting that Kyrie and KD are two people that have been said that they're like two of the worst locker room guys of all time.
Yeah, but
I think that I do not have high hopes.
Have high expectations. The reason is literally just because
I think that it's more likely that Kyrie and KD get into a fist fight than they make it to the finals.
I don't know. I didn't know KD was one of the worst locker room teammates.
From what I've heard from just interviews with like Draymond Green and various people on the Warriors, and then also from what Russell Westbrook said and people on the Thunder, is that KD has an ego because he knows that he's one of the best players in the league, but that he kind of suffers from James Harden symptom, that he's like, man, I don't need to go 100% in practice.
But I think Russell Westbrook was just laughing with and having fun with KD in preseason the other day.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's your friend.
Yeah, it is.
But at the same time, like, if your friend doesn't show up to practice, you're going to be mad before the game.
I don't know. I don't know about like, KD being. I know Kyrie's a terrible locker room teammate. We've all.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's take you and me, for example. We don't play on a basketball team, but we make this podcast together.
Okay.
If you were like, yeah, I'll be there when we're writing up our plan, and then you show up 20 minutes late, I'll be like, man, come on, Gavin, that wasn't cool. And then when we show up to the actual, when we're making the podcast, you're like, wait, what are we doing again? And, like, you're forgetting plays and stuff. Yeah. Even if you do excellent, I'm still going to be like, man, he really should have been in practice with us, paying a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
You know? And then we could still go out and laugh it off later when we're on separate podcasts.
we're disband each other.
Yeah, but I just think that overall it's just not. I mean, James Harden needs to be practicing with the team, and KD needs to be practicing with the team. And I mean, I think that so far on the Nets, he's been doing a good job because him and Kyrie Irving are good friends. I think that he likes the coaching staff. They've had some wacky interview moments where they were like, I don't know if we'll even have like a coach in air quotes, which is just what? They were like, I think sometimes me and Kevin will coach. I think like, what are you talking about, Kyrie? You won't have a coach? What? But it's just there's a lot with that Nets team because Kyrie is. Like, he said, I'm not even going to talk to the media. And then Damian Lillard was like, dude, talk to your media.
I saw that.
And
then
Instagram Live.
I saw that.
And then they started talking to the media again. It's just, there's a lot with that team, you know? There's a lot going on with the Nets.
In that Warriors team, I don't think, like, Draymond and KD got into a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
But when they went on that court, they were
meshing very well
because
at the end of the day, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant are professional basketball players.
That's how I would look at this Nets team going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it might not be the greatest.
Be some background noise.
Like, there might not be, who knows, maybe they do get along, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's say they don't. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are still going to go crazy. I mean,
yeah.
Did you hear LeBron and Kyrie didn't really get along too well in Cleveland?
Yeah.
But when they both were dropping 30-plus point games in that 2016 finals to keep their teams alive, it was like, you know?
Did you see that LeBron took that personally moment
when
he was talking about Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, and I mean, he said that he hadn't ever had a teammate that was knocking down big shots, and I always... and I'm paraphrasing here. I always was there for him. I was always rooting for him, and it really hurt. And I was expecting, with the amount of LeBron hatred that I've seen over the last couple of years, I was expecting people to be like, wow, he got upset over that. Soft. Wow, that's so soft. But everybody in the comments and stuff were like, yeah, man, Kyrie, that was pretty messed up. And it was, first of all, the first time that I've seen a LeBron interview that the whole time in the comments everybody wasn't like, I hate LeBron James so much, which was good to see. I'm glad that LeBron, after he grabbed his fourth ring, is finally getting a little bit of respect on his name. But also on top of that, yeah, like Kyrie Irving, that was pretty messed up to say that you've never had a player that you can look at and say he's going to hit big shots. That's also messed up to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the players that you played with in Boston. That's messed up to Kevin Love. And really, that was the only person on the Cavs besides LeBron.
Nobody else.
And that was messed up to Anthony Bennett.
J.R. Smith.
It was messed up to J.R. That was messed up to George Hill.
Richard Jefferson.
Did you see Amari Stoudemire was putting up putbacks in practice?
I was just about to say that.
Nets warm-up was Amari Stoudemire, assistant coach Amari Stoudemire, was putting up putback dunks. He should suit up.
Yeah,
maybe I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that.
Imagine.
Can you imagine a 45-year-old Amari Stoudemire walks out in the court, goggles and all? Let's look up how old
goggles.
He really is.
Goggles. Amari Stoudemire out there just doing putback dunks.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I'd love that. I bet he could still box out.
Grabbing 15 boards a game.
He's only 38.
Grabbing 15 boards a game.
He could still suit up.
He could?
I would love to see that. That'd be great. Anyway, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, both phenomenal basketball players. Both not great for team chemistry. The rest of the team, very solidly built. Still were at the 8th seed in the playoffs last year. put up a good fight in their playoffs against the Raptors. They lost in four, but I mean, they didn't have Kyrie or anything, but they're a hustle team. They have Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, all who were rumored to be in trade talks, but they ended up holding on to all of them, which I think was the right move because they have a good bench. They have a good, solid surrounding cast. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go all the way. I also wouldn't be surprised to see them get torn apart at the seams halfway through the season. Other teams to look at in the East, the Bucks, obviously. Drew Holiday's on there now. Chris Middleton is coming back. Giannis is coming back. I think that's going to be very much a team to watch. The Heat, I think not so much. I think that the Heat had their season, and I think that Goran Dragic is gone now. I think Bam Adebayo is going to get better. I think Jimmy's going to get worse. And then, I mean, Pacers probably aren't taking it all the way. Those are really the only teams in the Eastern Conference that I can say.
And the Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics, actually, yeah. Jason Tatum, you know he's going to take a step. Yeah. Jaylen Brown's going to take a step. Kemba Walker's probably going to regress a little bit. They still never found that big man that they wanted. They did not do good in free agency. But I think the fact that they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum is going to take them a long way. I have seen the Raptors get put high on people's list. They did lose Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. I would say don't put all your money on the Raptors.
I wouldn't, especially with the loss of Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka, also such a glue guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, had that cooking show that almost every player on the Raptors had been on. He was just such a positive locker room presence. And him and Marc Gasol almost perfectly split the minutes at center. I just think that with him gone, it's going to be really, really tough for
him. Yeah, that's what I was going to like. I think the Clippers signing Serge Ibaka was a move that they had to make.
Yeah.
Like, they needed to make that move.
You know, I would have liked if the Celtics picked up Serge Ibaka because they need a center.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, or that would have been really nice.
Imagine if the Celtics could have signed Boogie.
Or even Montrezl Harrell. Just a center. They just needed a center, and yeah, they didn't do that.
I mean, if they had signed Montrezl Harrell, probably would have gotten a lot worse.
You remember who they got? Celtics got Tristan Thompson.
I do. Oh, my.
What are you thinking?
Tristan Thompson.
The worst guy.
Comes out, wins DPOY.
If he does.
Most improved player.
If he does, I will give every single one of you who follows up on this $20. You say, hey, Braden, remember when you said Tristan Thompson will not win Defensive Player of the Year? Give me my $20. I'll say, you know what? I did say that, and I said this on the show. That's what I'll do. And Gavin, I'll give you $3,000.
Yes.
Because I'm confident that Tristan Thompson... will not get any. I don't even think that he will start halfway through the season.
Begging Tristan Thompson to win DPOY. Plays one game, averages 10 blocks in that one game he played. Must win it.
Tristan Thompson will not do anything for the team. He's arguably worse than Daniel Theis and Robert Williams.
He's coming, Alexan. Just because Steph Curry out rebounded him does not mean Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson's bad. Failure. Tristan Thompson's really bad.
Begging Tristan Thompson to come out and do something great this season. Just for money.
If he does, I'm good just kidding. That's all I have.
I mean, that's about it. I don't have anything else to say. Brian, you don't have anything else to talk about?
Yeah, I don't think I do.
We're kind of in the preseason right now, and preseason's not very interesting.
We will not be here next week because it is winter break.
Yeah, we won't.
That week and the week after is when the NBA starts. That's going to be exciting. When we come back, we'll have real, actual NBA games to cover. We'll be back on our grind. We'll have our merry trade cut. We'll have all of our regular season games that we play. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I haven't talked about a regular NBA season game. That's not the playoffs, and I don't know how long.
Yeah, because when we get... See, this was such a weird season because of the delays, because of COVID.
Yeah.
Because we started our school year / season of the show in the middle of the playoffs. So we got to cover the playoffs, and then we've had to fill this awkward 2 months of postseason where most NBA shows... would just be like, we're taking an off season as well. But I think that we've done a pretty good job at it. Kept it fun.
Now, hopefully we kept it somewhat entertaining.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a struggle to figure out what we're going to talk about some days.
But we assure you that we will be back on our NBA grind for the second half of the season.
Yep.
Or for the second half of our season in the first half of the NBA season. Should be exciting. Gavin, since this is our last one before the season starts, do you want to make any award predictions or final predictions?
All right, yes. Real quick. Last segment right here.
Yeah.
I'll do my award. You know, who I think is going to win awards.
This is WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, by the way.
Yep. All right, MVP this year. It's going to Luka.
Luka. Okay, right. I like that. Good prediction. Yeah.
I have Luka winning MVP this year.
Okay. All right. I'll just go after you every time. I got AD or a Giannis three-peat.
Okay. I have Rookie of the Year. I have LaMelo winning.
Rookie of the Year, I'm not confident saying anybody. I'm just going to go out on a limb, Cole Anthony.
In
Orlando, I mean.
I'm just going to say LaMelo. I mean, yeah. No one really knows this, so just saying LaMelo.
It's a weird rookie class.
Yeah. Most improved?
Who's going to make the leap this year?
Who's most make improved?
I'll tell you mine. Lonzo Ball.
Oh, Lonzo Ball for most improved?
Yeah, I think Lonzo's going to make a little bit of a jump this year. I think that his assist numbers, which are already always good, this year he's going to have a healthy Zion. He's going to have a healthy Steven Adams to be throwing lobs to.
Okay. I'm going to say Lonzo too. I'm going to go Lonzo.
I'm really liking him this year.
I really do think Lonzo...
Pelicans, sleeper 8 seed in the West.
Yeah, I think Lonzo can definitely go out.
Defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year? I'm going to have to give it to... it's either Giannis. I'm going to go with Giannis or AD again. The same thing as last season. One of them two.
I was going to say Anthony Davis or Tristan Thompson. I got AD this year for defensive player of the year. I think he's going to be able to. I think his offensive load is going to be lessened even more than it was last year, and I think he's going to be able to really focus on the defensive end.
I think it's going to be AD because of the Jrue Holiday signing.
Yeah,
because that brings a lot of
less pressure on Giannis for defense.
So I'm going to give it to AD.
Is that all the awards?
Sixth man.
Yeah. Sixth man. Oh, I don't even know who the sixth man are this year.
Sixth man, I guess I'll say Lou Will. If he's why not? I mean,
yeah.
He's in it every single year. Maybe this is another year he gets. He was his second last year.
Ooh, I'll pick my favorite pacer right now, Jeremy Lamb, if he comes back healthy.
Jeremy Lamb?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with Lou Will.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's just an obvious candidate. Finals.
How many games and who's winning?
And who's, how many who's games? Going? All right, right now, I'm telling you, right now, the Clippers are going to the finals.
Okay.
We can go back on this when they go to the finals. Mark my words, Paul George will get his ring this year. I definitely do not say this every single year.
Who are they playing against?
They're going up against the Nets, and they're winning in seven.
Winning in seven.
Because here's what's going to happen. Kevin Durant, game-winning shot, gets clamped by Paul George.
Okay.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Yep. That's what's happening.
Paul George, notorious for stopping game winners.
He's going to stop that one. This finals, Paul George is going to stop that Kevin Durant game winner.
You would certainly hope so. There's so many teams that could make it this year, legitimately. I have the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo will have a ring on his finger at the end of this season.
You have the Bucks?
I have the Bucks winning. I have the Bucks in six over the Lakers.
I legitimately have the Clippers winning.
Yeah.
I think that Serge Ibaka sign is huge.
At the end of the season, we'll look back on this, and we'll be like, wow, we were both so wrong on every one of our predictions. Oh, wow, I thought the Bucks were going to win. That was foolish.
Bucks didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have.
All right, yep, that's all I have. Hopefully those predictions are right. I mean, we'll figure it out in the end of next season. Thank you guys so much for listening. This will be up on Audio Boom. We haven't been able to do the last few because the computer has been broken. But this one will go up on Audio Boom. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Brayden, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Make sure you guys check out Brayden's show right after this, so don't go anywhere. And we'll see you guys next Thursday. Peace.